Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Series 3 of the Nutrition Nourishment Podcast, a podcast where I talk with my guests through their nutrition journeys. I'm excited to be back with you after a little break from recording while I finish my Master's in Clinical and Public Health Nutrition at UCL. My name is Amelia, and I am your host of the Nutrition Nourishment Podcast. I'm a registered associate nutritionist with 5 years of nutrition study and work experience behind me. I am now working as a dietetic assistant and freelance nutritionist. As always, nothing which is said on this podcast should be taken as personalised nutritional advice. If you would like nutrition advice, you can contact a registered nutritionist or dietitian. Now, let's get on with the podcast. I am delighted to be sharing with you today Ellie Breacher's journey. Ellie is a final year nutrition student who also runs her own successful company, Ellie's Granola. Today we will talk about Ellie's personal journey and passion for gut health and dive a little into the literature behind this. Ellie also gives us an insight into how she juggles her time between studying, social media and her company. Welcome to the Nutrition Nourishment Podcast. Hi Ellie.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm really good, thank you. Good, we finally made it on here together.
So lovely to have you joining me today. Would you first tell us a little bit about yourself?
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be on here with you. I'm Ellie. I'm a final year nutrition student and really excited to become a registered associate nutritionist next year when I graduate. I work as a recipe developer and a content creator with all sorts of food brands that I love. And I also run my own granola business, Ellie's Granola. And just a fun fact about me, I actually have a degree in French and Spanish. So when I graduate from nutrition, I will have spent 8 consecutive years at university.
Wow. So we've got lots to be chatting about today. Going back to the start of your journey almost within food and nutrition, when did you become aware that you thought, I want my future career to be in this field?
Well, I've always been super interested in the field of nutrition, but I didn't actually consider it as a career until a lot more recently. It just wasn't something that I really was aware existed. But I have always been aware of the relationship between what we eat and how it makes us feel, because I've had Crohn's since I was 8 years old. So growing up, I was always cooking and baking free from recipes. I always found nutrition so fascinating. But then I was good at languages at school. I didn't really know what to do at uni. So I thought I'd do French and Spanish, get to do a year abroad and see where life took me from there. And then I started my food blog while I was doing my first degree. And from there, my passion really grew and I got to know all kinds of people in the industry. And then I actually thought, this is what I want to do. I want to help people through their nutrition. So I found myself on another 4-year degree.
That's amazing. And I love hearing about people who have changed the direction of their journey, because each of our journeys have been so unique. With that French and Spanish degree, would you just tell us a little bit more about it? Where did you study? What did you do on your year abroad?
For sure. So I studied at the University of Nottingham. I absolutely loved it. I made amazing friends who are still my best friends today. And I lived in a house with 6 girls, which was just amazing. My year abroad, I went to Paris for 6 months and Madrid as well. Wow. When I was in Paris, I worked in PR, which I loved. And then in Madrid, I was doing real estate, but it was more research and translation in real estate property company. More than anything, it was exploring the cities and trying out all kinds of new brunch places and meeting people. And it was such an amazing year.
It sounds like such a great experience and an interesting background behind you before you even went into nutrition. So you got to the end of your French and Spanish 4-year degree. And how did you find making that decision to change career paths at that point?
It was quite daunting. All of my friends had jobs lined up in big companies or grad schemes, and they all kind of seemed to know what they were doing with their life. And I knew I was super passionate about nutrition, but I started researching online different courses where I could learn a bit more. And I found some weekend courses and some 6-month courses that said at the end of this, you'll be qualified to help people, but I wasn't really sure about that. So I spoke to quite a few registered nutritionists and they all said, you know, that you'll have more respect in the industry if you do an undergrad Bachelor of Science nutrition degree at the minimum. And I'm really glad that I took their advice at that time. I know there are plenty of great nutrition courses out there, but I wanted to do an AFN accredited degree just so that I could be in a place where I had that AFN registered nutritionist title eventually and felt confident to work with clients. And I really was armed with all the knowledge and experience that I'd need.
It does take time to gain that confidence and taking that time across a degree to increase your knowledge, but also increase how you explain that knowledge is really valuable. Maybe there's someone else listening to this podcast at a very similar crossroads to you. They've loved that current degree that they've just sat, but they're thinking, I actually want to go into a nutrition job later on, but they're unsure whether to make that move. What advice would you give to them?
I would say go for it, but think about it really carefully at the same time. So there's a lot of science involved in nutrition and everyone told me that and I didn't really believe them. I didn't actually imagine quite how much science there could be. There's a lot of biochemistry. I actually did a whole science foundation year because I dropped science at GCSE. Obviously, I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life when I was 16. So I did science foundation, which was biology, chemistry, quite a lot of maths and physics as well. It was a prerequisite to get onto the course. And even going into my final year, there's still a lot of science all the way through. So make sure you're prepared to work really, really hard. But if it's something that you're passionate about, then it is a long journey, but I think it's so worth it. And I'm really, really excited to be graduating soon and have the whole studying journey behind me.
Oh, no, that's so great to hear. And I think you mentioned something really important there. You didn't know what you wanted to do at 16, and not many people do. And you're just one amazing example of how you can have a great experience at uni and then go back and do something different and you can change your mind. And that's completely okay and exciting to be able to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we're all on our own path and people get so glued to age as a number, and by 21 you should be doing this and by 24 you should be doing this. I'm going to be nearly 26 when I graduate, but I feel now I really know where I'm going with life, so it's worth taking that time to think about it and study more and make sure that you're on the path that you want to be, not that everyone else around expects of you.
That's so lovely to hear. Thank you for sharing that with us. And definitely regarding the science, so I did chemistry to A level, and then I had psychology as my other science, which enabled me to get onto the nutrition undergrad degree. But I remember one of our first modules, I can't remember exactly its name, but it was definitely a science foundation. So they got you up to date on chemistry, biology, physics, maths, further maths, microbiology. It was in a very intense module where everyone got up to the same date because people come in from different backgrounds.
Yeah, definitely. I remember that. And honestly, I did feel really overwhelmed at the time. But eventually, you get used to it and you learn in a more scientific way. It's totally different to my previous degree, obviously. Yeah.
You mentioned just now the physics part of it. My degree was food science and nutrition. So the physics for me came into the food science part of what I was studying.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that makes sense.
And you mentioned about your science foundation. Could you tell us a little bit more about that?
Sure. So it was, as I said, very overwhelming at the beginning. I almost felt like I was back in school. I was studying subjects that I really wasn't that interested. I mean, I didn't sign up to do biochemistry at uni. I signed up to learn about nutrition and I was waiting and waiting. When is the nutrition going to start? And it really didn't start in the Science Foundation year, if I'm honest. But yeah, it's so essential that you have that really firm grounding because you do need it all the way throughout your degree. You really do. So I am very glad that I did that whole year and really got myself thinking in the way that I needed to be thinking and learning throughout the rest of the degree.
It's so interesting to chat a bit more about the science behind nutrition. I love it. So you said that you'd always been interested in nutrition, but what inspired you to then take it into a career?
I think mainly seeing results in my own health as a direct result of the way I was eating, and also that desire to show other people struggling with their gut health or other autoimmune conditions that there really is a light at the end of the tunnel, and nutrition and lifestyle can play a much, much bigger role than you might think. Of course, medication plays its role, but sometimes adding dietary factors and lifestyle factors on top of that can make such a huge difference to your life.
Thank you for sharing your personal inspirations with us. So now in your final year of studying nutrition, what work experience or volunteering have you gained throughout your degree?
So I've done a couple of work experience placements with different nutritionists. I did one this summer. I had so many lined up last summer that all got cancelled because of COVID. But the summer after my foundation year, so before starting first year, I did another one, which was very interesting. That was actually with a nutritional therapist, so slightly different, but it's good to learn from different professionals in the industry in different areas. Work experience is such a great way to gain an insight into the day-to-day life of nutritionists. Yeah. It's so much more than just seeing clients, so much more. There's events, there's media work, there's obviously social media and blog posts. So it's been really, really helpful.
What's been your favorite part of shadowing nutritionists? What have you really enjoyed doing?
I love social media, as I'm sure you know. So I think on one of my work placements a couple of years ago, I was doing a lot of content creation for her, recipes and buying ingredients to share with her audience. And that's really where I'm happiest. So that was great fun. But then again, all the other tasks that were not what I'm used to doing were really good for me to learn just how varied it is. And actually, I'm one of those people who I could never work in an office from 9 to 5, just sitting at my desk. I think to be different and fun and just have various tasks throughout the day and throughout the week. So that's really reinforced that.
I feel the same. I like doing something different every day. And that's partly why I love nutrition so much.
Yeah, absolutely.
What's been your favorite module at uni so far?
Ooh, that's a good question. We did one last year called Diet in Health and Disease, and I think that was quite interesting. That felt quite relevant. It was really real world knowledge that we were learning. And then going into this year, I'm actually super excited to start my dissertation. I didn't do a dissertation on my French and Spanish degree because I had the option just to do extra exam modules, so I chose that. But I haven't fully decided what it's going to be, but I know it will be to do with Crohn's, which is obviously an area I'm super passionate about. So really looking forward to that.
Definitely will be excited to hear where you go with that. So yeah, that kind of takes us through your degree. I don't know if we mentioned actually, where are you doing your current degree?
It's at the University of Westminster. I actually love
it. I know University of Nottingham is a campus-based uni. How has it been going from a campus to a city-based?
Totally different, but good. Do you know what? I am really glad that I had that campus-based experience. When I was 18, straight out of school, I really, really loved it. But now, a few years older, I'm back at home, which is good. I love London.
I definitely feel the same because I was at University of Leeds for my undergrad and then UCL for my postgrad degrees. And I loved being on a campus base when I was 18, knowing everyone around was pretty much uni students and there was always a friendly face. But it's been so exciting to explore the city when I could last year. Obviously, with the pandemic, it was a little bit more difficult, but I did enjoy the whole city vibe.
London's amazing.
So bringing us more up to date, I guess, that kind of brings us to where you are now in your journey. You've mentioned your interest in gut health and how you grew up with Crohn's disease. How do you think growing up with Crohn's disease has influenced your journey within nutrition and your interest in gut health?
I think it really brought to my mind the fact that nutrition is an amazing area that can have such a profound impact on people's life. And also gut health is more than just the digestive system. It really is. People think gut health, okay, that's how you digest food, but it's the gut-brain axis is one of the areas that fascinates me so much. So that's how the gut and the brain basically talk to each other. And gut health can have a huge impact on mental health, just as mental health can have an impact on gut health. It's a bi-directional relationship. And then also the gut microbiome is such a fascinating area of research that's obviously still emerging. There's studies coming out showing the importance of why we need a healthy gut microbiome and how we can nourish our microbiome. I just find it such an exciting growing area.
Absolutely. And as you say, things externally or food can also influence our microbiome. For example, stress.
Absolutely. Stress is a huge trigger for me and for my Crohn's as well. But for a lot of people, whether it's IBS or if you don't have a diagnosed condition, you know, before an exam, you might have a tummy ache, or before a date, you might get butterflies. And it's, we don't even realize how big the link is.
Absolutely. And for people who don't know what Crohn's disease is, do you want to just explain a little bit about it?
Yeah, for sure. So it's an autoimmune condition that affects the digestive system. Autoimmune essentially means the body attacks itself and causes a whole host of digestive symptoms. So I've lived with that since I was 8. There are plenty of medications out there, but I think there's so much more to it. Your quality of life can be hugely improved by nutrition and lifestyle factors on top of that. So for me, things like going for a walk every morning, doing yoga every single day, even when I don't feel like it, I know that it really makes me feel better. Prioritizing my sleep pattern, that's a huge thing for me. Being active throughout the day, not necessarily high intensity exercise classes, but stretching every morning and getting some fresh air and some steps in, controlling my stress levels, things like that all play a huge role for me.
Finding what works for you is so important. You know your own body better than anyone. So if that's what works for you, you've got to put yourself first.
Oh yeah, 100%. I also know that there are certain dietary triggers for me. And of course, it's not the same for everyone. Everyone's different.
Thank you for sharing your personal experience and their personally things that trigger you. I think it's important at this point to highlight, for example, Crohn's disease. You would work with a dietitian on Crohn's disease and not a nutritionist. And also that everyone is different. So before you do start cutting out foods, talk with a registered dietitian and see their advice and how to do it. Because if we don't need to cut out foods, it's best to involve every food that is safe for us to eat.
I completely, completely agree. So when I was diagnosed, I was actually provided with a dietitian by my hospital. We did a whole elimination diet and then gradually reduced foods. And that's how I found what my personal triggers were. But absolutely, everyone is so different. And the more you can eat, then you should. You shouldn't rush to cut out food groups, of course.
And then also, you mentioned the gut-brain axis. But I also think it's so interesting that the gut isn't just related to our brain. It's possibly one of the more talked about ones. But it also influences our skin, our liver. Like, there's so many different axes where our gut can have an influence. Our immune system has been mentioned a lot in the media lately.
Oh, yeah, that is so true. I think it's amazing. Isn't it 70% of your immune system is located in your gut? I think it's incredible. So if you're someone who gets sick often, it might be a sign of really needing to support your gut microbiome and your gut health overall.
And I am a big believer in the influence of our language, Ellie. And it was so interesting. You just used the word support. Exactly. Our diet can be used to support our immune system, to support our gut health, but not boost it. And I think that's a very interesting one to pick up on there.
Definitely. I've seen so much on Instagram, particularly in the last year and a half, ways to boost your immune system. I think definitely the way that we talk about it is really important.
That kind of brings us onto another topic, which is Instagram. Obviously, that's how we've connected. But how long have you been on Instagram? And let's maybe talk a bit about both of your accounts.
Sure. So I started my food and nutrition Instagram when I was 19. So nearly 7 years ago. Although it's definitely evolved a lot since then. And then my Ellie's Granola Instagram, I started that, well, when I started the business, so 2 years ago.
That's incredible. And how do you find running the two Instagram accounts, including your business, Ellie's Granola, whilst doing your degree?
I'll be honest, it's not easy at times, especially alongside my degree. I think even just running my food and nutrition account and blog can seem like a full-time job in itself. So I actually use an app to plan out my content calendar in advance, and that's been so, so helpful for ensuring that I post consistently on both Ellie Breach and Nutrition and Ellie's Granola. I think being super organized is so important to be able to juggle multiple businesses and a degree. I try to allocate certain days to focus on content creation, admin, granola baking, studying. I think just kind of time batching so that you're thinking in the zone of whatever task it is that you're doing for quite a few hours at a time or even a whole day. That's really helpful for me.
And do you plan in time for yourself too?
I try to. I do. Especially in the morning. I think my morning routine is such a huge thing that keeps me grounded for the rest of the day. So even if it means waking up a little bit earlier to be able to have a walk on my own, listen to a podcast or do some yoga and make a nice nourishing breakfast, make a nice matcha latte.
I was just about to say that. You always have your matcha lattes.
You know, I love my matcha lattes in the morning.
And going back to when you first started your account when you were 19, you've learned so much and you've evolved from that time. And we all have to start somewhere. So my personal advice to anyone thinking about sharing their journey, sharing their experiences within nutrition, is just to have a go and start it if that's something that you want to do.
100%. Honestly, I had no idea what I was doing when I started out. I remember actually the first brand that I ever worked with, I was living in Paris and I got this email from a PR company saying, we'd love to send you this brand of almond milk. How much would you charge for 2 in-feed posts? And I was so flattered that they wanted me to create content for them. I didn't know what to charge. So I said I charge £5 a post because I was worried if I said too much that they wouldn't want to work with me or they'd say you're too expensive for us. So I made a tenner and I was so proud of myself.
That's amazing. Thank you for sharing the beginning of that journey. And how do you think you've managed to evolve and grow and understand what your time is worth?
I think it's definitely taken time. And for sure, at the beginning, I really did undercharge for a long time. Actually, I worked for free most of the time. And I still do some work for free. I think it's important, whether it's exposure or cross-promoting each other's audiences, or perhaps it's a brand that I really love and want to say that I've worked with and genuinely want to be involved with. But then again, my time is worth something. And, you know, I juggle a lot. So sometimes brands will be quite demanding. And well, I'm happy to do the work, but you know, you have to pay me for my time. And I understand that small brands might not have budget for that, which is totally fine. But then you need to kind of find the balance between how many deliverables, how many expectations you commit to if you're working just in exchange for product.
Definitely. And I think it's so good to talk about that and to share that experience, because your time is worth something and you do put a lot of effort into these things. I think you mentioned it before, social media and creating posts takes time, and especially within nutrition when you need them to be evidence-based.
Absolutely. Yeah, I spend a lot of time researching my captions and making sure everything is completely evidence-based. As you said, it's really, really important.
And do you have any advice of how to reach out and talk with brands and maybe how to make sure that we are staying within those professional standards?
Well, one thing that's important to know is that if a brand comes along who isn't 100% aligned with your values, don't be afraid to turn it down. I turn down loads of brands all the time, and that's absolutely fine. You only want to work with brands that you really do align with their values and everything that they stand for.
Also,
just don't be afraid to tell them your rate at really what you think that you deserve to be paid. You don't need to undervalue yourself. And most of the time, brands are willing to negotiate.
Lovely. Thank you. Thank you for that advice. And I think it's definitely amazing to only be working with brands that you truly believe in their values and you really align with each other and you have that transparency with your audience about it.
Of course, it's one of the most important things.
So on Instagram, when you're going to create a post, what inspires you to create those posts?
What inspires me? Well, I find the whole recipe development process and the food styling and photography such a fun creative outlet in itself. I just love playing around with different ingredients. I'd say also travel is a huge inspiration for me. So my year abroad, of course, eating in all these amazing restaurants. And then also I've been traveling to places like Australia and Bali, and I was so inspired by all those beautiful, vibrant, colorful smoothie bowls and the way they just decorate their breakfast bowls, a work of art. That is definitely inspiring to me.
Oh, it's amazing to hear you talk about all of this. I can hear in your voice how passionate you are about it. I think as well, food is there to be enjoyed, and it's important to have a balance of different types of foods. As we say, as long as they're safe for you to eat and you enjoy them, having balance and to make it a sustainable lifestyle, I think is important to find.
Absolutely. Food is there to be enjoyed, and it should be fun and accessible and easy. And that's really what I try and get across with my post, that meals should be really enjoyable and a happy experience, not something to be stressed about or afraid of calories.
So I've got a tricky question now, Ellie. What's
I'm ready. What's
your favorite meal to cook? It's favorite tricky meal. Because I've got so many. I can never
I have
one.
So many as well. I have so many, all the things flying to my mind right now. Okay, I love a good shakshuka for brunch with lots of herbs and spices and tomato sauce, and then you crack in the eggs, but you keep them quite runny, and then you dip in a slice of sourdough bread. That's just the best Sunday brunch or weekend brunch. I have a few. Peanut butter is my favorite food, but that's not really a meal, is it?
On some apple or banana, it's a great snack.
100%, or just with a spoon.
Yep, absolutely. What do you most enjoy about being on social media?
I love meeting with new people and finding people with similar interests in the nutrition industry, and then seeing people at real life events. So I actually hosted this gut health event a few weeks ago, which you were at.
Yes.
And it was so nice to see so many familiar faces who I see on Instagram every day. But then it's so nice to actually have a real life chat with these people. And there are some friends that I've made who have been in the industry for years, and maybe we worked with similar brands a few years ago, and we've stayed friends since then, which is so nice.
I completely agree. It's such an amazing online community, and your event was fantastic, by the way. Congratulations on that. It was your first one, was it?
Yeah, thank you so much. Honestly, I enjoyed every second of it. People were asking me, were you nervous? Was it scary giving a talk? I just loved it. I just felt so in flow the whole time, and I felt that everyone really had a great time.
Oh, absolutely. Everyone was smiling every moment of being there. And it kind of brings us on to a couple of questions about Ellie's granola, because I did get to taste your granola there and it was so good. I would definitely recommend it. I know we've mentioned it a couple of times throughout this episode so far, but could you talk to us a little bit more about your journey with Ellie's granola?
So I started Ellie's granola 2 years ago, but I have been making my own granola since I was a teenager. And growing up, I found it really hard to get hold of a granola that I could eat with all my intolerances. So naturally, I created my own. And the first flavor I ever sold was my peanut butter granola, which is still my most popular flavor to date. I sell it online and in local shops and delis. And then more recently, I started selling at a market in Camden every Saturday, which is really good fun to actually meet customers and get to chat to them. It's great.
So where can people find it? Is that on a website? And also, where's the Camden Market?
Yeah, so my website, elliesgranola.co.uk, my Instagram, and then there's a shop called Rowell's in Maid Vale, a couple of others listed online. And then in Camden, it's actually a new market called Hawley Wharf Market. If you look on my Instagram, you'll see where it is. It's an amazing space. It's brand new. It's all such a lovely area. And also, I love just chatting to the other tradespeople there, whether it's they're selling honey that they make themselves from their beehives or fresh yogurt and kefir from their farms. And it's so, so nice to be able to chat to other people there.
That's amazing. And what we'll do as well, maybe if you can send us a list through and we can tag all of these in the description of this podcast episode if anyone wants to go and check out more about Ellie's granola.
I definitely will. I'll send you a list.
Lovely. So we've spoken about so many of the positives, about changing our journeys, about being on social media, but maybe in general, what are some of the challenges about being in nutrition, being on social media, running your own businesses? What do you find hard about it all?
So number one is time management, as you can probably imagine, but I feel that I've kind of mastered it as well as I can. I'm very organized. I think I've I've done the best that I can. Still, there's only a certain amount of hours in the day, but I'm quite good at finding balance, I think. And then another challenge is really just the rapid spreading of misinformation and nutrition myths. I think there's so much conflicting information out there and they can just be so confusing. It's really important that the information that you're consuming online is evidence-based.
And how do you think that maybe someone who doesn't have a nutrition background and is looking for some evidence-based information, how do you think that they can identify what is evidence-based and what might be misinformation?
So you can look in people's bio. They'll probably say nutrition BSc at the very minimum, which is a Bachelor of Science in Nutrition at University. They might have the letters AFN, which is Association for Nutrition. If they're a dietitian, it might say BDA, so the British Dietetics Association. And while there are many other really good courses, the thing is a lot of them aren't necessarily regulated by these governing bodies. So you don't know what information is necessarily evidence-based.
That's great advice. Thank you for sharing that. I would also add in there, if you see something that looks like they're over-promising, it possibly is not real, would be my advice.
Yeah, definitely. If you see the word detox or you see lose X amount of pounds in X weeks, I wouldn't take advice from someone promising things like that.
No, because as well, we're so much more than our weight. We are so much more, and our diet should be enjoyable, as we were saying earlier, and focusing on adding things in and adding in nutrition to nourish us, not taking things out.
Completely agree.
Well, thank you so much for sharing the challenges along our journey. I think it's always important to talk about them because they are there, they are real, and we all struggle with them. So thank you for that. I have just a few more questions for you today, Ellie. Firstly, have your, and if they have, how your nutrition inspirations changed over the years?
They have, definitely. I'd say I've become a lot more intuitive with the way that I eat personally. I never measure ingredients in the kitchen unless I'm specifically creating a recipe to share or for a brand. I eat what makes me feel good. I think my palate has also evolved over the last few years, but some things will never change. So my favorite food is still dark chocolate. I still have it every single day after dinner, and that will always be something that doesn't change.
Lovely. I definitely think that's amazing, sharing about becoming more intuitive and including variety and balance too.
Absolutely.
So we've spoken all about how you got to where you are today. But what's next for you, Ellie?
Getting through my final year and really giving it my all. I want to focus actually a lot less on Ellie's granola this year and more on my degree, so I can tell myself that I did my very best. I think at this point in time, I haven't started looking for jobs yet, but I'd love to get a couple of years of experience working for a registered nutritionist when I graduate. And then ultimately, the dream is to open my own clinic.
That sounds so exciting. Can you sum up for us in a sentence, a few words or a quote, any advice that you would give to people currently on their journeys in food and nutrition?
I'd say to surround yourself with people who inspire you, people who lift you up, and people who are a few steps ahead of you in their journey.
They are beautiful words of advice. Thank you so much, Ellie, for being here today and sharing your journey with us. Good luck at your final year at uni and with your dissertation. I'm excited to hear about what you'll be doing that on. And if you don't follow Ellie already, you can find her and her delicious recipes on Instagram at Ellie Breacher Nutrition and at Ellie's Granola, and on her website, www.elliebreacher.co.uk. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been such a pleasure to be on here with you.
A big thank you to Ellie for joining me today. Thank you for sharing your personal experiences and inspirations, and for your advice to follow your dreams while surrounding yourself with people who support you. And thank you to all of you who have joined me on the journey of this podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, I am sure you'll love next week's journey. So make sure to hit the subscribe button to be one of the first to hear. And if you love hearing about nutrition and other people's journeys as much as I love to share them, please give this podcast a 5-star review. It will help us to reach more people. I wish Ellie and all of you luck on your journeys. I hope you join me next Sunday to discover more journeys in nutrition.